Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Nizar Ibrahim. I'm a vertebrate paleontologist and a National Geographic explorer.
And we are talking because Nat Geo Kids is doing a really cool thing all this month called Dinomania, as in May, the month of May, Dinomania. So, hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
Okay, so what all does Dinomania involve? Is it like a month-long thing for kids that they can do all month?
Yeah, basically, we've got this amazing hub, the Dinomania website. It's on natgeokids.com/dinomania, and they can find out more about incredible dinosaur books. Nat Geo Kids has a great selection of dinosaur books. They can print out dinosaur posters. They can enter a design a dino contest, and they can find out more about these incredible creatures of the deep past of our planet.
Awesome. And dinosaurs are popular. I mean, ever since I was a kid, since you were a kid, and I'm sure with kids today, though, why do you think they continue, you know, capturing the imagination of little ones?
Well, that's a really good question. I think part of the answer is that dinosaurs are essentially like, you know, mythological dragons of our childhood, you know, like the kinds of creatures we see in fairy tales, except that dinosaurs were real. Dinosaurs were also really alien looking. You know, there's nothing alive today that looks anything like a T-Rex, right? And so I think, you know, working on dinosaurs sometimes to me feels like working on extraterrestrials from outer space. And of course, dinosaurs really pushed the boundaries in many different ways. You know, the largest, heaviest land animals ever to evolve were big plant-eating dinosaurs. You know, the biggest predatory dinosaurs are also the biggest land-based predators ever to evolve. So they're really just amazing animals. There's so many superlatives, and, you know, and they were incredibly successful. I think that's also part of their appeal.
Awesome. So even for us adults, I mean, they continue to be fascinating. Like, what's the latest, you know, in case some of us maybe haven't been keeping up with the paleontology and the latest science of it, but what's sort of the latest theories on, you know, how they looked and moved and lived and, you know what I mean? Like, what have we learned anything in recent years or decades about, you know, that might have challenged some older theories about what happened to dinosaurs?
Yeah, we learned a lot. We now know that dinosaurs were incredibly sophisticated animals. They were very, very successful. So that's kind of, you know, really different from our old-fashioned image of the dinosaurs as kind of slow, lumbering giants. They were extremely successful animals. If you look at their anatomy, they found really innovative and incredible ways to, you know, build these giant bodies and still, you know, reduce the weight. And they had very efficient breathing systems and, you know, really, really complex animals. We also know that some dinosaurs moved in herds, you know, that nesting colonies in some cases. We also found out that dinosaurs were more diverse than we previously gave them credit for. So one of the discoveries my team made in recent years was a giant predatory dinosaur called Spinosaurus, which, as it turns out, was a water-loving dinosaur. It was a river monster. It was a giant dinosaur with crocodile-like jaws and a paddle-like tail and a giant sail on its back. And this animal was going after giant SUV-sized fish in an ancient river system in what is today the Sahara Desert. So this animal was doing something we thought dinosaurs never did. You know, it entered the aquatic world. It became a water predator. So that's, you know, that's just one of these big discoveries that are kind of rewriting our dinosaur textbooks. We also know that dinosaurs did not all go extinct. We now know that many dinosaurs had feathers. So in some ways you could say that dinosaurs, quote unquote, invented feathers. And initially they were not used for flight. They were used for insulation to keep the animals warm or maybe for display like a peacock's tail. And one group of small feathered dinosaurs gave rise to the animals we now call birds. And so birds are dinosaurs. They survived the mass extinction event. And they're very successful. You know, there are more bird species alive today than there are mammal species. So in some ways, the age of dinosaurs has not really ended. They're still all around us.
Well, I was going to ask you about the bird thing, you know, since we've all remembered it in Jurassic Park, but that's been like almost 30 years ago now. So I was curious what the latest science on that. So it is conclusive now that some, at least a faction of some dinosaurs became birds, and I guess others became what, other reptiles?
Well, other reptiles were around at the time of the dinosaurs. Some types of dinosaurs, some branches of the dinosaur tree did disappear. There's nothing like a Triceratops around today. There's no living descendant. So the birds are really the only living dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are related to some other animals that are still alive today, like crocodiles and alligators, for example. But the only animals alive today that really are dinosaurs are birds. And if you look at dinosaurs, you know, they're far more bird-like than, say, crocodile-like. You know, crocodiles have a sprawling gait. Birds have erect limbs, you know, and that's what we see in dinosaurs. You know, they don't have a sprawling gait. You know, they're, you know, really fast and efficient walkers. We know that some dinosaurs were sitting on a clutch of eggs, just like a bird. We found some of them fossilized as they were sitting on their eggs. So dinosaurs were incredibly bird-like, and yes, not so surprising because birds are surviving dinosaurs. So, you know, if anything, they became even more bird-like than in Jurassic Park.
It's so cool. All right. Well, if you have some kids out there, you know, maybe listening in the car with their parents, you pretty much have a dream job that they would like one day, sir. So tell us about what's it like being a National Geographic explorer and, being a paleontologist, actually, before even aside from Nat Geo, but just being a paleontologist, unearthing dinosaur bones. It's got to be so cool.
It is really cool because, you know, it allowed me to combine my passion for, you know, animals and extinct animals in particular, but also my desire to travel to far-flung corners of the world. You know, I go to the Sahara Desert, which is an amazing place. You know, some of my colleagues work in places like Mongolia and, you know, Patagonia in South America. It's a really, really rewarding career, and you get to resurrect these incredible creatures from deep time. Being a National Geographic explorer is also great because, of course, National Geographic is this big global name in science and exploration, right? It doesn't matter where you go in the world, many, many of the people you meet know National Geographic. You know, they know it because they watch the National Geographic channel in various language editions, or they read the magazine. And so it's really great to have their support, you know, when you're out there exploring, remote parts of the world. And National Geographic really kind of values real exploration, you know, going to a place where nobody else has ever been before in terms of, you know, searching for dinosaurs, for example. So it's, for me, it's been a dream come true, and I get to do this, you know, I get paid for digging up dinosaurs in part. I also have to do some teaching at university, but yeah, it's a great career, but it's not an easy path. So if you're a, you know, budding paleontologist, you know, you have to, take all the science classes. You'll have to go to university if you want to be a, you know, professional paleontologist working in a museum or a university. You probably have to get a PhD. So it's a long journey. It's not always easy. There are not a ton of jobs, but if this is, you know, where your heart lies, if this is your passion, you should absolutely go for it. And there are many different ways to get involved with dinosaurs. You can also become an animator, you know, working on, you know, computer graphics, bringing dinosaurs back to life in documentary films, or you can be an exhibit specialist in a museum, or you can work in science communication. You know, so many things you can do. You can be an artist illustrating dinosaur books. So many, many different pathways.
For sure. And for, you mentioned the artist part. I believe on this Dinomania on Nat Geo Kids on the website, there's a design a dino contest. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, art is a really important part of paleontology because that's how we, you know, bring these animals back to life for the public, you know. And so, yes, kids can design their own dinosaur when they enter the Design a Dino contest part of the website. It's, you know, art is really important because if I just describe a skeleton I found to people, you know, they don't really know what I'm talking about because there's nothing like, say, a Spinosaurus alive today. But if an artist kind of, you know, reconstructs the animal and shows it swimming through a river and hunting big giant fish, then, you know, it kind of becomes alive.
Cool. Tell me real quick, before we run, tell me some of the other fun stuff that kids can do on the Dinomania website stuff. I think isn't there a personality quiz that kids could see what dino would match their personality?
Yes, that's one of the things you can do for sure. You can also print out dino posters, really great dinosaur posters. And most importantly, I think you can find out about the many incredible dinosaur books that Nat Geo Kids has published over the years. And I work on some of them, so I can certainly recommend them. And as I said, you know, my love affair with science and dinosaurs began with a book, you know. So I think if you want to, you know, give your budding paleontologist something to feed on, so to speak, you know, books are really fantastic. You know, they allow kids to travel to these incredible lost worlds, and they get to, you know, discover this incredible world of dinosaurs. And that's a gateway to science in general, you know, because when you study dinosaurs, you're using biology and geology and chemistry, you know, you name it, it's all in there. So it's a great, you know, gateway to science for kids.
Real quick, what are some of the books that are on there that you've worked on?
I worked on a book called Dining with Dinosaurs, which is really cool, looking at adaptations of different dinosaurs and what they're feeding on and how we know what dinosaurs ate. I also worked on a book for the really little ones, you know, the first board book of dinosaurs. I mean, there are several, you know, and, you know, some of the books that I did work on, they're still very good books. There's some amazing ones out there, but those are two of the ones I worked on and really enjoyed working on. So, you know, it's something I can highly recommend. They're fantastically well illustrated and they have a lot of, you know, 100% up-to-date content. So this is really a good starting point for your dinosaur passion.
Great. Cool. Well, I got plenty to work with. Is there anything else you want to add before we hop off here?
I think that's all. I guess, well, I mean, there are plenty of things I could still tell you about, but I think we're running short on time. So that's probably all we have time for today.
All right. Well, again, it's Dinomania, May, month of May, with Nat Geo Kids. We'll link to the website from our website and everything, and get some kids to enjoy dinos anew again. So, hey, thanks for joining us.
Sure. My pleasure. Thanks all for right. having me.